A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Julian the Gilgil, it's Untitled Banter Podcast Day. Second intro on my part, because technology hates me. The number three, doctors hate her. I can't get to the end of a recording without technology being there for me.
It's because of the fact that I was bagging on the new Pokemon game before in the original opening, and then it was like Mr. Nintendo was like, oh, mute that, mute.
It's a drop in. But yeah, it is also Pokemon Day, Pokemon Arceus. We got a question about that. I should also say this is the Entitled Banter Podcast. I'm Scott Taylor, joined by Jules Gill.
Hello.
The UBP, the UBP, the UBP, which we used to say a lot more and I always forget, but this time on it. But lovely selection of questions, some of the best stuff that we've been sent in. So we'll get through as many things as we can. The UBP, we just always ask people what they'd like us to talk about, whether it's a gaming thing, whether it's a Deftones thing.
Oh, which, what's this Deftones?
I know. Chat? We'll just have to see how we go. So first question from a gaming dad who says, hey, gents, thanks for all the great content. What are your thoughts on the confirmed Mortal Kombat movie sequel? What do you think will be the most well-received? Also, what do you think will be the most well-received release of 2022 across each gaming platform? Now, one thing I'm going to throw in here for me is that it is rumored that The Rock is playing Shao Kahn. What do you also think of that?
Oh, what a casting choice, because like he can hammer up to unbelievable levels. I mean, we've all seen the Scorpion King. We all know the dregs that he can reach.
Oh, he looks like him. He almost looks like Shao Kahn.
Yeah, I think that the fact that like him with the skull mask on, with that distinctive body and that mass, like big voice that he's got in there. The only thing is that they will try and Joss Whedon this whole thing in the fact that they will try and make him like have more quippy one-liners and stuff like that, because he's so charismatic. I don't think you can put him in a straight villain role now. You've got to basically allow him to have fun with it and be like almost Machiavellian and over the top. So if they go down that route, he could easily be the standout feature of that, because he could just back up all of his words as well, and you would really feel like, I remember playing, was it Mortal Kombat 9, when he was the worst final boss.
Oh, he's the horrible boss, yeah.
He keeps spamming the sledgehammer throw, and he keeps on doing this thing. You have to basically unlearn everything in order to beat him in that game, and I hated him for that, but I feel that that's the version that he could bring to the screen and be really loved for, because he would just batter people, and it'd be so good.
So the reason I'm throwing this in is because he tweeted saying that he was working on a major game property, something that he loved when he was growing up, and I'm sure he cited the 90s, and so a lot of people went, well, what else can that be? And obviously we know, a gaming dad says, we know that they are doing a Mortal Kombat sequel. So my wife thought maybe he'd be Goro, but Goro was in the original Mortal Kombat, unless they do like Kintaro or something.
Yeah, they could do that, I guess.
I'd like him to be a big four-armed version of The Rock. But like you said, he'd have to play like a more stoic dude. So I don't know if they do, you know, the 1995 Mortal Kombat where Shao Kahn is a bit more banter. Maybe it's in the sequel. And he's doing forward flips and stuff.
I know that in Mortal Kombat 10, they gave him a lot more characterization, but it usually was just kind of like, I am killing you now. Like, killed?
I think you can pull that off. If he did like a Rock Bottom, but when he slams it down, he pops the guy's head off or something.
Like, slams them onto like a load of spikes would be quite good.
He does a giant people's elbow or something. But either way, this is funny enough because we've been very positive for this question. I hated the Mortal Kombat movie from like 2 years ago or whatever it was. I thought they got everything wrong, and I hated the idea of, you know, they all just have like this weird inner chi thing that means that like Jax grows his arms and stuff, and I was like, no.
that's not even the main problem with that film, though, is it? The main problem is that it's like, oh, look, it's my original character. Do not steal, like, as the main thing. It's like, no one cares about this character. Why don't you give us some established people that we do know and that have been built up for
special
years?
Power is plot armor, and there's not even a Mortal Kombat tournament in it. There's a cage fight at the end.
You think that maybe he's going to name drop himself as being somebody like worth a damn, but it's like, no, actually, we're off to actually meet the people who care about in the sequel. And it's like, we all knew that a sequel was probably going to happen because like there was so much money and hype put into it. The visual effects in it, fine. There's that one really gory death where Kung Lao's like blade hat like splits that woman's head apart. That is really good in a really disturbing
authentic,
way.
Yeah,
but I don't think that I'm not super jazzed on the new one unless The Rock is in it, and then I am perma jazzed.
I'm psyched for The Rock potentially being Shao Kahn or just someone if that is what he was referring to. I think that you know, because they've talked about, but like Joe Taslim said he'd be up for doing a Sub-Zero spin-off. So it's like, are they doing like a Mortal Kombat shared universe thing? But yeah, the first one was a massive swing and a miss, even though the parts of it were in the right direction. So just we got a ton of questions asking what we think Sony will do in response to the Xbox stuff, which has obviously been the overall discourse in gaming. So we'll not spend too much time on it because there's a lot of other things to talk about. But just as a quick sort of response, I guess, because we know that they are, you know, doing the Spartacus program, which seems to be their answer to Game Pass, but we don't know anything about that too specifically. But what's your gut feeling? I will actually throw in, because we did get a specific question from someone called Dan, because there was a leak a couple of days ago purporting to be the details of this PlayStation Spartacus.
Oh, I've not actually seen that.
Called PlayStation Infinite. Now, I try to chase this down. We were going to do a news video on it, but if you actually chase down the source, there's very little to it. And if you kind of track down, there was this hidden YouTube video that was meant to be like the trailer for it, but then it was just made up of PS Plus, a trailer that had been recut. And if you freeze framed it at the right point, you could see a fake little logo saying made with certain renderware. And I was like, someone else is just fake.
It's just a fake.
Whatever, maybe at the crux of it, there's a couple of verified accounts sharing it around, so whatever. Maybe it's true that their PlayStation Game Pass is ostensibly going to be called PlayStation Infinite, and the idea of that is that you would have PlayStation 1, PS2, PS3 games, but they would be at the highest tier of pricing. There'd be three separate tiers. So I guess, what's your overall thoughts on what Sony do to try and combat Game Pass, and would you buy something like PlayStation Infinite that has everything PlayStation Plus has right now, a whole bunch of games, all the exclusives, and a history of PlayStation as well?
Yeah, I think that the biggest knock to Sony was that they traded so heavily on having exclusives. That was their sort of main thing. And the community basically wrote that for themselves as well by saying, like, what does Microsoft have? Now, with Microsoft responding by flopping its big Master Chief on the table and saying, this is what I've got, mate. I've got a lot of money. Sony have been kind of put into the question of what makes their console worthwhile. Now, they've got VR coming out, which obviously is going to be a big proponent. If they push that, they could really start moving away from having a direct conflict with Xbox about that by offering a completely different and unique experience. But I do think that if they are chasing the sort of Netflix game app style thing, that is sensible, but they need to potentially trade more on what Sony means to people, which is nostalgia. And I do feel that if they launched with a huge, like, I'm not just talking like the biggest hit, I'm talking about like the medium, the mediocre hits, the CAC as well.
Bishy Bashy special, mate.
All of the PlayStation 1 era games that they can get their hands on and don't have issues with the licensing. If they put that on there and they turn it into, it's the future, but also has a nostalgia box function, then I really do feel that they'll be able to capture some of the brilliance that many attribute to Sony in the first place.
Yeah, if they do like a trailer that's all PS1 themed, like all the right kind of sound effects, all the right feel, because I do think polygonal graphics can be endearing. There's a way that they look ugly as hell, but sometimes if you get it right, it can be charming. And I think if you then had like a wing of the PS5's dashboard that turns into a PS1 machine.
Oh, that'd be so
cool. You know, it does the old school boot up animation, for sound effects, and you have access to stuff. And like you said, have a range of things. Put Evil Zone on there. Put Bugs and Taz Time Busters. Just
Where's Gungrave? Gungrave.
That would be the PS2 app. But I guess you could do all those like hidden gem B tier things that me and you love.
Tombi.
Tombi would be great. The Ape Escape, whatever. They put all those things on. I think
there's still a game that I need you to play, which is called Mojo, which is you play as like a it's like a fighting robot game, but it's also a puzzle platform. It's very hard to describe. Google it after this.
Was it The Unholy War that Peter Austin used to always love? And I grew up on that too.
So Peter and I played that over at his house years ago, and we had the best time because he was like, look, listen, I won't lie to you. I can just win by being this one character who has like on a jet bike and just drops bombs around the arena.
That was
like,
the thing, because you could fly up around a dude and just shower the battlefield in bombs. Yeah, it's game. Like you're never gonna. Yeah, same. They should bring Unholy War back. I have no idea who made that game, but bring that thing back. But overall, yes, I think both of us think that Sony will do some sort of thing, some version of Game Pass. Yeah. As they are nothing if not reactive. They just released the update for the PlayStation app that auto makes any captures that you appear on the console appear on the app, which is quite cool. Xboxes, which is great. Xbox has had that for years. But they always look at what someone else is doing and go, cool, that's cool, we'll do that. So they'll definitely do something with Game Pass.
Well, the interesting thing is they've got the tech, haven't they? Like Sony have always had the tech, like their haptic response on their controller. Like there's so much untapped potential within the way to make playing a game feel more than just sitting there and pressing buttons. Well, they need to involve themselves more in the senses rather than basically looking at, like you say, the other things that are going on. I do worry, though, as much as you and I would love it if they released all of the PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 back catalogues.
You might never see me again.
Well, we have to think about the fact that you and I aren't actually the target audience anymore. We're older. We are still definitely within their demographic because we have a lot of the older disposable income.
The moolah. Money.
But the problem is that they are going to advertise more towards the younger generation because it's what they want. They are the future and they will dictate where these companies go. So maybe trading on nostalgia actually won't mean anything to these kids.
That's the thing. Like, yeah, does Tekken 3 mean something to the average kid? Like,
I had somebody the other day saying, I came across this really old fighting game. Have you heard of it? It's called Tekken. And I was like, Tekken 1? Like, what are you on about? Like, of course I played that. I remember creepy it was to see the CGI king hug those those live action kids. What was going on there?
That weird eyebrow from Kazuya in the original.
Amazing.
But yeah, I mean, I remember when we started doing when the Final Fantasy VII remake started getting detailed more, and me and Cleary got to go down to London and play it, and I was like, oh my god, me and him were like freaking out because we're like 30 odd, freaking out about it, and I put a community post out going like, oh my god, we've just played Final Fantasy VII remake, can you believe it? It got 10 upvotes, it got 10 likes.
Yeah, I know.
And I was just like, is this just two old men liking something? But I mean, it took off after that, thankfully. But it was just that reaction of like, do the younger generations.
Does it mean anything?
Do they even care about this stuff?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sure the whole conversation around like rival Game Pass equivalents or whatever will dominate the conversation across this generation. Mm-hmm. Next question from Vin Van Meel. This is a hell of a question. Who says, ahoy, you're making a time capsule of gaming to capture everything from 2000 to 2022 for future generations. You may have 5 items, all of which are either games or consoles. The number of each can be to your choosing. You're also allowed 1 gaming peripheral. What are you picking?
Oh my gosh. So what's the year range that I've got?
Between 2000 and 2022 to represent gaming.
Oh man, that's actually really tough because a lot of the games that I remember playing and having the most fun with were like usually 1999 and earlier. Like I want to put like stuff like my first experience with Final Fantasy VIII in there, but that was a 1999.
You can have Bioshock though.
Bioshock should definitely go in.
Yes.
There.
Okay. So that can be one of them. Mm-hmm. So that'd be one of the games. Console wise, I would say you need a PlayStation 2. But it's hard because if we're giving a PS2 and I can only give you so many games, then it's like I'd give you a PS2 with like Metal Gear Solid 2.
I wouldn't take it. That wouldn't be at the top. I'd say you're onto that, mate. Like I'd go for the PS2. The PS2, yes. I think I've had the most fun with. I can't think of a console that I've been more enamored with, but maybe again, that's nostalgia speaking.
I've just had a very quick thought. Sorry. I'm just thinking maybe the way to do this for me, I think if I was actually going to do this end of the world, I've got to make a time capsule thing. I think I would do 1 console, would be the PS2. I'd pick 4 games and my 1 peripheral will be the multi-tap. So they can all have a bit of Def Jam.
My peripheral would be an actual official memory card to actually save your progress. Not one of those dodgy ones you buy down the market. So that old dodgy Dan and his 30 gig memory card that doesn't work.
Remember those ones that were like, it was meant to be 8-in-1 and it was like you flick a little switch on the side and it would just like...
What was that about?
They never worked though.
What's that about?
Like you said, it was always some like weird market stall.
I take the original... I take a demo disc just to remind people of the future what demos actually were, because you only get like a handful of them released a year. But it used to be every single month you could get demo discs attached to the front of a magazine. And guess what, kids? People wouldn't steal them. Like half the time you go there and they were still there.
First time I played Unholy War was on a demo disc. But yeah, I wonder if we're thinking 20 years of gaming, 2000 to 2022, for me, you need a through line of what gaming means. So you need something that is perfected, like gameplay, the arcade's mentality set of it, something with a really perfect gameplay loop and something that pushes the envelope narratively. Now, you can't potentially include The Last of Us because then you have to put a PS3 in there and that's not worth it as a console.
Right, so, okay. So you're saying if you put one game in, you have to put in the associated
thing. You need the console
thing
to play it. It just throws me off. So I'm just like, I would either have one console and four games or two consoles and three games.
Should we just stick to one console and four games?
Maybe I feel like a BioShock though. I was thinking if
I'll tell you what, why don't you go for the PlayStation 2 and put yours in there, and I'll go for the Xbox 360 because I feel like they had a very wide range of stuff.
Yes.
And then I'll put in BioShock for sure.
Yes.
I'll put in Halo 3 or Halo 1.
Ooh, Halo's such a shout.
I know, I can't because it's backwards compatible at that point, wasn't it, on the 360? Is that right? Am I remembering?
I would just do Halo 3 if I was going to give someone
Halo.
But you wouldn't be able to play it online, or maybe even with the person next to you, because we haven't given you any controllers. But you can play the first one, or you can play Halo 3.
Mate, this is so granular, because now do I have to put in a controller? Do I have to put in like a pair of controllers?
I'm going to go
for a Mad Cat's turbo controller.
So someone could win regardless.
Yeah.
I think, definitely go with, let's assume that each console comes with two controllers. Because we're not Vin Van Meel's not an absolute mad lad. I think he would like the rules of this weird.
Yeah, he's not going to make us get the HDMI cables as a spare thing and stuff like that either. It seems like a charging port.
Yeah, the bypass filter or whatever it is. But we got PS2, 360, BioShock, Halo 3,
yeah,
and then one other game for the PlayStation 2. Which my shout would be Metal Gear Solid 2. But
can we compromise?
Maybe it's GTA 3.
Why can't we go for the Metal Gear Solid Collection on the 360?
Oh, that's a very good shout.
Because then we get two and three and VR missions. But
that means
solid.
That the PlayStation 2 is null and void. So we could then maybe just give people the 360. Did the best games.
Do you know what the worst thing is? Is that now I'm saying about all these consoles, I'm thinking to myself, I want to put the GameCube in there like an absolute unit. I just want to barge in and be like, nah, WrestleMania, let's put
I think
that in
to
there.
Somehow meet this in the middle, and it pains me to do this, I think I would sacrifice the PlayStation 2 and I would have the GTA double pack on Xbox 360.
Okay.
Because then you get GTA 3 and Vice City. And at least that gets because the GTA is why I'd have the PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
But then you get a good enough version of it on 360. So I guess we're saying 360 and four games.
Okay. There we go. Yeah.
Whatever BioShock, Halo, and all the rest of it.
BioShock, Halo 3, Metal Gear Solid pack collection, with the collection and the GTA double pack.
Yes.
That is not a bad selection
that's
of games.
That's pretty good. I think that's got a nice cross section of gameplay mechanics and story stuff and makes you think stuff and things that can only be done in gaming. But there's probably no power in the weird apocalypse that we're going to, so you just see how you go. But next question from Edward Sharazhans, who says, do you think Pokemon's Legends Arceus will be the future of Pokemon's overall? Or do you think this will be some kind of crazy experiment? Also, the springboard cut of Sammy Guevara off a ladder on Cody.
Mate.
I don't have a question. That was great. Have you seen that yet?
Yeah, I watched it. So this is the thing. I've got a bit of a secret to confess to you, Scott. I have been watching wrestling again pretty religiously
for the past
3 months now. Yeah. I've been catching Raw, SmackDown, NXT,
AEW.
Because when I'm just doing my writing, when I'm like writing lists and stuff like that, I have it on the background. So I have SmackDown and Raw on the background. And when I've done my recording for the day, if I've like got any time in the afternoon, that's when I'll watch AEW. Like SmackDown, the WWE products are passive watching to me, but AEW is active watching because there's so much stuff going on.
They are on fire right now. The thing that they just did would have been last night for us in the UK, night before, whatever it was. Having two, I mean, this is not going to mean anything to people who aren't into wrestling, but just hear me out. There was a period in human history where we all cared about wrestling. It was circa 2000, and we all cared about it because the product was just that damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's back there for AEW, and people who give it a chance get hooked in, and that's very much what's happened to me and you to some degree as well. And the thing that you just go and watch it. Just Google Sammy Guevara, Cody Rhodes cutter, and watch
the
what
TNT
happens.
Cutter. Oh, mate, it was such a beautiful thing. Like I saw that there was people like having a moan about the fact that the referees had to hold the ladders, but I'm like, guys, are you kidding me? Look at what you've just seen here.
Yeah.
The fact is that you only pointed that out after the video came out. And it was like, oh, look at this. It's like, you're not clearly watching that in the moment. It was an amazing match as well. Just a really good back and forth. And I love the fact that Cody is trying so hard to get people to love him, but it's just not happening. It's just, everyone's just like, ah, boo, boo, boo.
People just hate what he represents. I like Cody. I like that whole him trying to navigate that line of like, how do I get the fans to like me again?
He's but the Roman Reigns of their company at the moment, which is
to some degree.
Or the old Roman Reigns, sorry.
Yeah, I've not kept up with WWE, and I'm not going back. That's my thing. I can't go back to WWE, but I will keep up with AEW. But yeah, that was that thing is doing the rounds in terms of just a sheer piece of athleticism that is unbelievable. Dude gets tackled out of the air, whatever, 20 feet up, whatever the hell it is.
It's like 10, 15 foot, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know feet, to be honest. I took a wild guess there. I was just like, it's probably a lot of feet. But
100 foot in the air. Off the side of a building.
The ground slam. Oh. But massive, insane.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Thing. Anyway, it's for Pokemon. Like I said before, no, I didn't say before because this is the one that was before we had to reset. Yeah.
We had to restart.
I played Pokemon Arceus at midnight, did a couple of hours. I love it. Go check the video that's on the What Culture Gaming channel of me just talking at Josh's little face about how good it is. I wonder if it'll be the future of Pokemon because it is a one-off. It's the first time we've not done a double thing, you know, Red, Blue, Sword and Shield, whatever. But I do love the way it plays. And I think that them making it more, everything's faster, you can catch really fast, you can battle faster. It's more like just a super open world Monster Hunter type thing. I love everything they're doing. So it's very much going to be in the sales though, whether this is the future or not. But it feels very fresh. First time I've done anything in 25 years, and I'm very much loving it. So, yeah.
I really want them to take this concept and move forward with it because I feel like there's a lot to build on with this. Like I said before, but again, you guys didn't hear this, is that I... From what I've seen of this, every single review that comes out, everyone is saying the same thing of just like, yes, it's really cool that they've moved the formula forward. Yes, it's really cool, the things you can do, but it's only good when it works. And there are a lot of bugs that need to be ironed out and like fixes to be made in terms of how the battling actually feels, because the whole concept now of like having the heavy attacks and the strong and the weak attacks or the quick attacks, it all falls apart when you've got trainers putting in multiple Pokemon and the order of like when your attacks go off is quite weird sometimes. And I can imagine there could be an effect fair few things on the competitive scene if that game ever gets to that level. If that is still the case, he will just be like, well, what the hell's going on? I've definitely tried to put mine in priority, so why is mine going last now?
Yeah, it's kind of insane, like the conversations that are doing the rounds about how Game Freak work as a dev, because Pokemon as an IP, obviously the games are center to the anime, to the wider franchise, so it's like they have to turn it around almost one every year, and like obviously they've tried so much stuff for this, and a lot of it is just direct fan requests that have been, you know, been requested for so long, and they've done their best. It feels like there's definitely a team of people trying their best here.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, maybe I haven't encountered any bugs and glitches. I've definitely had some frame rate hiccups.
Oh no, I didn't mean in terms of that. I mean just like hiccups in the mechanics themselves, rather than it being like an actual like game breaking or corrupting style thing. Like it was stuff like the battles feel like they go too quickly. Like a lot of the time you batter your opponent, which again, I too am in the camp where I like the fact that it's over quickly, but I can imagine it's a little bit deflating sometime if you built up in your mind how a Pokemon should be versus how it acts in the game. But how do you balance that? That's like,
it's interesting seeing what they've done, because it's like they've taken this open world approach, which is very much open world Pokemon Snap, with like the camps to bank stuff back, like Monster Hunter. It's like you go back to a camp, you bank all your stuff, all your findings, and go back out again. And I like that loop. I think that's cool. But like, yeah, it does mean that everything is very snappy. The way the battles are, they feel like the old school battles in terms of the animations, but you're just looking at them from afar because you can run around as they're fighting. So it's cool. It's fresh. I just love seeing them do something, just do anything. It's why I love Pokemon Go so much, because I was like, oh, it's just something different. But yeah, I'm going to keep playing it. I've banked a couple of hours into it, and we'll see how we go. Next question from Willy Araya. I started replaying Metal Gear Solid 3 last week, and still an amazing game to this day. What's your favorite boss fight from the game, and what's your most memorable moment from it? I'm doing my extreme big boss run, so wish me luck. Well, good luck, Mr. Willy
good
Araya.
Luck. Good
I'm sure
luck.
You'll do well. Metal Gear Solid 3.
Does it have to be Metal Gear Solid 3? Or is it just like a franchise?
Yeah, what's your favorite boss fight from Snake Eater, and what's your most memorable memory from it?
What's the one where you can use the water pistol to... Not where he climbs down from the tree and you can feed him poison rations?
What's the name of that jungle? That's Metal Gear. That's Snake Eater.
No. But what's the boss's name? Is it the Fear?
Oh, sorry. It's the Fear. Yeah.
Okay. So I enjoyed that one because of the fact that everyone always talks about the end. Everyone talks about like the big boss battle at the end as well. And like, there's lots of other things going on. And trust me, there are amazing boss battles in there. But I feel like he gets left out of the conversation quite a lot.
No, that's true.
It's still another unique take on the boss fight.
It's like, I mean, yeah, he does the bubbles and everything.
He does like sit in the tree looking like a bit of a goon for a while though, doesn't he? Like that's the only downside. I'd be like, mate, I wouldn't get that tired that quickly.
Yeah, he sort of comes at you like running backwards, like an upside down crab walk with his tongue hanging out. It's cool enough. It was very of its time, very like the grunge.
The grunge. Yeah. The grunge, I
grunge.
Said.
Comes at, yeah, like grunge. Just comes at you with a flannel shirt on.
Yeah.
But
from Atlanta.
But yeah, I think for me, the end one would stand out. I love the fight with the boss at the end. The character is called the boss. Yeah. In the very end, you fight in that field of lilies or whatever they are.
It's not a lily, is it?
Are they not
lilies?
Is it a lily? They're white flowers
field,
anyway.
Field of flowers.
Nice, lovely fight. You kind of do like a bit of CQC, but you've also got to keep your distance and get the drop on her and stuff. I think that's a cool fight. My most memorable memory is when, I forget how I knew this ahead of time, but there was going to be a demo included with the official PlayStation magazine back in like 2002 or whatever it was. And I used to walk home from school, and my walk was like an hour because it was just, you know, I had to get home. I had to travel across the country to get home. And I ran the
hallway. Sound like such an old man, be like, back in my day, I used to walk from school, it would take an hour to get warm.
But like, oh, it was school at 3:35, whatever time it was. And I was like, at home, Metal Gear Solid 3 is waiting there, because my mum let me know that it had arrived on the magazine delivery or whatever. So I ran, little wheezy asthmatic me, ran all the way home. And I got home. A sweaty, wheezy mess. And I could see it. I could see it on the table. But I was so tired. I was so... I'm a stitch. And I was so sweaty. My face was all red. And at the time, I was going through various... I had to go through all sorts of different skin trials. I had a very special type of eczema, which was horrible. And I had to go through a whole bunch of trials to get rid of it. And it had flared up like a proper lobster.
I was
just standing there, just so uncomfortable, going like, I'm just really tired and itchy and horrible, holding the disc, though, and finally playing Snake Eater, but just feeling the worst I've ever felt in my life.
You touched it, and the Snake Eater theme bit played, where it goes... Like, you're just like, oh, like I'm being enveloped in light. Just like,
that was me just trying,
coughing bright red.
Just trying to play the new Kojima business. It was just, that's how much I loved, or still do, love Metal Gear Solid. It was me running home with my big stupid backpack and past all my friends on the street so I could get home and then just knacking myself by the time I got home.
Oh, man,
so that'll be mine. What's your most memorable memory? If it's
my one feels so much more grotty by comparison now, because of the fact that I remember playing it over at my friend Liam's house, and his brother was at the time, but liked to smoke the pot. You know what I mean? He was a bit of the old pot smoker.
Smoking a pancake.
He was incredibly off his face, and I'm just sitting there with Liam watching him play, because it was the classic big brother technique of like, you watch sort of thing.
Right.
And,
yeah.
He was just at the bit where you climb up the massive ladder.
Oh God!
And
yeah.
I remember like just thinking like, this is going on forever. Like, is he playing the game right? Is he meant to have done something by now? And it was just going up, and obviously the Snake Eater theme is playing as he's going up. And it, like, I just looked over at him, and he is just looking like he is as glazed as the pot he smokes. And I was just like, I was like, you all right, mate? And he's just like, oh, it's a big ladder, isn't it? I was like, yeah, it's a big ladder too.
When I was a kid, that ladder bit felt like it went on for half an hour. It's only the
yeah,
it's
na- yeah. Nowadays, it's like 2 minutes.
Like 3 minutes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
But like 3 minutes of purely just holding up, going up there is excessive.
I think when you're like a sugar-fueled teenager as well, you're expecting like, you know, non-stop action, and it's coming into Kojima's Metal Gear Solid, just climb this ladder.
Because you could rotate the camera around, so you kept on thinking, is there something below me? Is something going to suddenly like chase it? Where's the top? Like, oh, what's going on?
Am I stuck? What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
So all those memories. Metal Gear was such a time. I really wish there was another franchise like that that was as crazy and dumb. And maybe
Death
Stranding will
become that. It's called
that.
Left Alive.
If only there was anything as memorable in that franchise. But still, Mr. Kojima, I'm glad he's alive. Next question from Jack Asbury, who says, where are these favorite podcasts of the week? Well, thank you very much. I was just wondering what you guys think of leak culture. It seems a new game can't just be released without every single aspect of it leaking out before it hits shelves. On the one hand, it can inform buyers, but it also spoils games.
Right. I'll take this one straight away because of the fact that we are, me and Scott, and the majority of What Culture, we are unfortunately part of leak culture because of the fact that whenever a new thing pops up on the threads of Reddit or whatever, if it's there's newsworthy, we do push it out to people because we are a outlet for media. We constantly try and get people engaged and up to date with the latest information. Do I, stepping away from that as with my job, do I like it? No, of course I don't. I don't like having things spoiled for me. But then again, that's why I've had to develop over the years and met a mindset of just not caring. Like if people come up to me and say, like, oh, have you seen X? Are you going to watch Blitz? Are you going to play that? I usually just think to myself, like, oh, I don't want to have it spoiled. But then I think to myself, you know what? I don't actually care. Like, because at the end of the day, I take the mentality of, if somebody tells me something is that good, if there is a pivotal moment that is going to come out and it's going to like rock what I think about this game, or it's going to change the way I think about this film franchise, then in my mind, now that I've got it there, somebody's told me, I look forward to it. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see that moment play out on screen. Mm-hmm. And knowing about it doesn't necessarily mean that you got all of it right in your mind. You can still be easily surprised. Mm-hmm. I can understand why people just go on the huge mute button when it comes to like big games and trailers. I totally respect that. Mm-hmm. And I try not to keep that in my tweets. I try not to tweet about games or stuff that I'm playing or I have advanced bits of, because I know it will ruin it for someone. Mm-hmm. But it's so hard to avoid nowadays.
See, my thing, I drew a big distinction between like leaks that are newsworthy, that are, you know, a game's coming out, this thing's been confirmed, this thing's rumored, this thing's leaked. Mm-hmm. That distinction between that stuff and story stuff. We will never do a video just saying this person dies in this game. Like, we'll never
do that stuff. Yeah.
But we will try and guess, oh my God, does it seem like Kojima's doing a horror game for Xbox? Mm-hmm. Like, we'll do that thing. And so for me, the excitement is then when you see the actual trailer at E3 and we got it right and everyone was right. And you get to have that jubilation of like, oh my God, they are actually doing it. That is really, really fun. I think that stuff's really, really fun. The story stuff, you're absolutely right. I won't look any of that stuff up. And so that's the stuff that I avoid. I've actually been avoiding there was a massive leak for Pokemon and it showed all the models in the game. And I don't want to know that. I want to discover the world as I go. So for me, it's that distinction. I think you can absolutely, for me, you can go as hog wild as you want in regards to leaks and rumors if it's something newsworthy or non-spoilery and just sort of try and guess at games coming out. And I get that some people just want the reveals at certain shows. I do get that. But for me, it's more fun. If it's something that we've been following for years and then it's finally real, when The Last Guardian was finally real, or the Final Fantasy VII Remake, or Spider-Man. Me and Peter, we mentioned Peter before. Me and Peter Austin did a video on a rumor that Spider-Man was being made by Insomniac back in like 2014. 15
and
or something.
Look what happened.
And then when that finally came around and we got to do the whole like high fives, oh my God, it's real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that. So I would just try and have fun with the rumors and the leaks and the oh my God, the potential of the gaming industry. I think that can be really fun.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Totally
it's
agree.
A good mix. Next question from Christopher Snow, who says, I went all Porsche there. Hello, lads.
Hello.
Even though I'm excited for them, I've been wondering. Well, okay, I'll do that. So it's actually comprehensible.
No, do it in the Porsche.
Okay. Mr. Christopher Snow. Hello, lads. Even though I'm excited for them, I've been wondering if after a 7-year absence, do you think people still care enough about Rocksteady or Warner Brothers to pay full price for Gotham Knights or Suicide Squad? Because I've not heard a lot of positivity. Now, that became Simon Miller at the end.
A little bit of Simon Miller at the end there.
On the floor. But yeah, I think...
I'm actually pretty jazzed for the Suicide Squad. I don't... Why is Rocksteady not being...
I think it's just
press?
Because it has been 7 years. Like, you know, Arkham Knight was 2015. They've sort of barely been in the gaming discourse. There's all that stuff. Thing is, I'll do the counterpoint. I don't care about Gotham Knights because it's a squad... It's a co-op-based campaign, and I just don't care. Like, I'm not
like
going to play through that with anyone...
That's going to really struggle, I think, because it's just going to boil down to pretty much every other game that we played before. Like, it's going to have to adopt an archetype. I don't know how they're going to apply it so that it feels fresh and unique. We've seen so many others try to do like sort of co-op campaign style stuff, but unless you have got a super coordinated team, a stealth game is not going to work well with that. You're going to basically just go into the fighting.
Yeah, there's that
away.
Side of it. And it's just like the fact that they've kind of done a weird thing with the timeline where it's like Gotham Knights takes place in the main Arkham timeline after he's faked his own death.
Yeah, weird, right?
Whatever that is. But then there's also Suicide Squad, which is in like is that the other way around? One of them's in the main timeline and the other one is like a semi-split timeline where like Batman is another Batman.
It's going to be the Suicide Squad has to be that one, right? Because the fact that they take down the Justice League, so Batman's going to have to be part of that, right?
Whatever they've done, they've split it anyway. They're two different universes regardless. But the thing, I'm not too bothered about that necessarily. My thing with the Suicide Squad is, again, it's another four-person co-op loot shooter where I just was I bounce off this.
I feel more comfortable with that one. And I don't know why. I think it's because the Gotham Knights is going for the very dark and gritty approach of just being like, whoa, we're so serious. But the Suicide Squad is over the top and silly. So I kind of feel like I'm going to be able to be chaotic.
Do you want to play as King Shark as well?
Yeah, it's going to be made as part of the actual experience. Whereas I feel like you would probably get chastised by your own teammates for breaking stealth or something like that probably. In the other games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I have full faith in Rocksteady. I just don't have faith
they'll
in Warner
do a good
Brothers
job. No matter
not
what it is.
Sticking their fingers in the pies and messing with the recipe or the
There's
flavor.
Money to be made here.
Yeah, do it this way. Turn this over. It's still edible, right? Well, kind of, but not really. That was kind of the Arkham Knight thing. But yeah, we'll see what comes together. I do kind of know what he means, that it's not as, oh my God, as it was when Arkham Knight got announced or something like that. Yeah. But we'll find out pretty soon. Final question from Raindrop, who says, should WWE fans be pre-ordering WWE 2K2022 after the tragedy of 2K20? Does 2K deserve a second chance with that license?
I will succinctly answer this question. No. When a company loses that much faith by doing repeatedly terrible, terrible things to their own franchise, I've compared the previous 2K games to an empire that is built with the foundations of a sandcastle because it has been eroding and collapsing from within for a long, long time.
It's kind of the Pokemon problem, just something every year, regardless of anything.
But this is the big problem is that they recognized finally when people spoke with their wallets that this isn't what they want and we are going to take it away and retool it. That does not mean that you should be pre-ordering it. Why should you be giving them money for something that they have to prove to you, the consumer? You should be sitting there thinking to yourself, oh, you need to make me actually invest because I am not going to give you a shred of any of my wallet letters until I have seen that it is worth my time.
I'd also say that this year is the year, hopefully, the AEW game comes out. That's been delayed a couple of times. 2022 is when it's penciled in for. That's going to immediately be their immediate competition, which is something they haven't had for over a decade. There hasn't been another viable, anything in that space other than Fire Pro Wrestling, which, like, most people who are playing the WWE,
it's very different.
Are going to play Fire Pro, even though I would totally recommend Fire Pro World.
It's so much fun,
it's
but
great.
It's very
it's just
different.
That it's very overpriced, but whatever. Yeah, I would wait to see what the AEW game is, and I would just wait. I think that this year, they've had more time to put this together, so maybe definitely check the reviews, never pre-order. Always just make sure what you're buying. And like Jewel said, you guys come first, like as always. You shouldn't be throwing away the most valuable thing you have, which is your money, into a game before it actually is worth that.
I'll tell you what, my friend.
Go on.
If you want to pre-order something
Then why don't you pre-order a UBP mug that's going to be releasing in February?
Hopefully in February.
Hopefully.
Schedule we have.
Hopefully.
We've sent the designs across and we're waiting for another a big old merch drop across the board to come together. So it's penciled in for February. I've also realized that I mentioned Deftones at the start of this. We'll very quickly end on a Deftones question. Okay. So final question from TJ, who says, ever listen to Deftones? Needles and Pins from their self-titled album 2003 is, as Jules would say, an absolute banger. And basically all I listened to walking to school in 2003. Also on the N64, he recommends GoldenEye 007 Slappers Only, Benroy versus Jules versus Josh versus Scott. Who wins? Now I've not played Slappers Only.
Slappers is the one where you only use chops, isn't it?
I assume so. Choppers only.
Oh man, it's a long,
melee
time.
Melee only. Running around doing the one motion over and over again.
I think, the thing is, my friend, can we talk about Deftones? Because I bloody love Deftones. I think they're so good. My favorite album, like, I know it's very cliche to say White Pony, but it did change the game a lot. But it's their 2007 or 8 album, Diamond Eyes, which is the one that came out after the long break that they had. That is phenomenally good. I absolutely adore that album.
I told you that I've barely listened to them? And
that's absolutely fine. It just means that you've got more of a chance now to listen to them.
Every time I try to listen to them over the years, like, they'll sort of bleed into stuff sometimes. And I don't like his vocals that much, Chino's vocals. And I did see them
it's a bit of a take, isn't it?
The thing is, though, they were at Sonosphere, one of the festivals over in the UK, and I watched them live. And it's Chino Marino, the singer, I think?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was giving it a right old screech. And I love a good screech, but it just wasn't right. And then I heard, is it Koino Yokan from 2012?
Yeah, 2012, that one.
That Swerve City from that album has the bounciest riff that ever did bounce. And I love that. So that got me in to some degree. But I'll go check out the one that you said, the Eyes one, because I've not, like...
Diamond Eyes, yeah. I think as well, if you want to try something a bit different that may be up your street, then you should check out his side project, which is called Crosses, which is three of like the crosses as the logo. Uh-huh, and they have a more sort of like... It's electro and his voice. Mm-hmm. So it's like you still get the heavier moments, but it's very like synth based and like a lot of like electronica. Like it's hard to describe, but it is good. And I feel like that's a good stepping in point because he's designed those songs there to be less, they're still like oppressively emotional, but they are more catchy with the sort of like underbeats that they've got going on.
So the word synth will make me check anything out, to be honest.
I'm not going to lie. I definitely use that just to hook you in.
It's called some synths. I'm immediately there. Speaking of synths, to end this podcast, Carpenter Brute's got a new song out today. Just putting that out there. It's the first time in a while.
What's going on there? The old listen then?
It's a good time. But yes, thank you to everybody for sending in all their questions, all their talking points. We had a lovely response this week. I might roll some stuff over to next week because we had quite a lot of more things to talk about. But massive thank you. This has been the Untitled Partner Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Jules Gill.
Thank you very much for having me, Scott. And remember, you can come and find us every Thursday over on Retro J with a zero on Twitter and at /LP89, is it?
Yes, the year I was born.
Yeah, it is, baby. We put out a tweet for the UBP every single week. Now, as Scott said, we might roll a few over, but always check out there for more stuff. Because who knows, you might get a little sneaky peeky at the old Muggaroonies before they go live.
We're going to hopefully get them out in February. We'll do as much as the two of us can, and then we'll see what other elements get in our way. But we'll see. For now, this has been the UBP, the UBP.
UBP, 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 UBP.
And we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.